What's up, everybody? It's your friend Isaac from Big Bike BMX, and I'm here with my homie Craig. What's up, Craig?
Yo, Isaac, what's going on, dude? Good to be back.
Man, what a week, dude. It's been absolutely insane. It's the election time in the United States, and so it's just been crazy. It's like, you know, we're just waiting on hearing on stuff. It's nuts. But man, I have the best escape in the world for you tonight, Craig. You're not going to believe this.
Man, I mean, I love surprises. Tell me what you got, homie. Don't keep me in suspense.
So I'm not a Todd Lyons fanboy.
Nah.
But we did score an hour of Todd's time tonight. And we've been trying to nail this down since before the hoedown. We've been threatening to do this interview and threatening to get Todd on, and Todd's finally like, he goes, "Hey man, I got time tonight." And we're like, "Then we're podcasting tonight."
Yeah. So, I mean, I heard brakes screeching after that. It was like, stop the presses, homie.
We had to. So, without any further ado, Craig, why don't you introduce Todd?
Yeah, no problem, man. Ladies and gentlemen, Big Bike BMX podcast. You know who it is. You know who we got in the house. Isaac just said it, man. We have the director of SE Bikes himself right here with us tonight to go over some really cool stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Todd Lyons. What's up, Todd?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Glad we could finally link up.
Dude, I'm stoked. Man, so tonight we've been talking about this for a while, talking about the collabs of the SE Bikes collabs that you've done. It always causes all kinds of chatter on social media when we talk about this stuff. And so I was just like, hey man, let's talk about the bikes that you've done and let's give some history on some of these bikes, because there's people like me and a lot of our fans that are getting into the big bike BMX scene, coming back to BMX. They may have missed out on a lot of the last 10 years of what SE's been doing. And so we wanted to just talk about, like, this is going to be a series of videos that we're going to do where we just cover, one or two of the bikes that SE has done collaborations on, and just kind of hear it from Todd himself, what happened, how it happened, show some behind the scenes pictures and anything that he's got. So, you know, without further ado, Todd, tell me first of all, just to lay the foundation, SE is no, like, you're not a newcomer to collaborations. You know, when the first collab that I saw coming back in was the Dub Ripper, right? So that's what sparked it for me. I was just like, what? Well, what? And you're like, bro, that's nothing new. Wait till you hear about this. How did the collaboration stuff start when you took over SE?
They started actually in 2000. The year was 2006. It's probably the end of 2005, but the year was 2006 for our 2007 model year. And I had been, I got hired on as the product manager and brand manager in the summer of 2004. And, you know, I thought about doing, you know, some retro bikes, you know, but I was like, I was like, it'd be cool to do an old school classic bike, but man, you know, our factory's in Taiwan. At that time, it was in Taiwan. It wasn't in China. You know, I was like, man, the old school heads aren't going to go for it if, making a PK Ripper in Taiwan, you know? And it was like, fuck, you know, there's no manufacturing that assembles and produces complete BMX bikes in America. You know, it just doesn't exist, you know? And there's some little, you know, one-off things here and there, but anyway, so, you know, I was like, man, you know, and I was kind of struggling, it'd be pretty cool, you know, because I was only 2 years into like getting acquainted with SE. You know, I mean, I wasn't an SE head back in the day. You know, I was a BMXer, but I was never an SE head. And 2 years into working there and just starting to design the bikes and stuff, it was I was starting to hear people, you know, hey, you know, and back then it was probably on MySpace or something, you know.
MySpace,
yeah, yeah. But myhose.com, I think it was called. But anyway, you know, I was starting to get a little bit of, hey, you should do this, you should do that, you know. And it was like, you know, I was just really hesitant, you know, like, man, I can't, you know, the only thing I know is working with this factory over in Asia, you know. And then anyway, I didn't think it would fly. And then out of nowhere, got an email that came into like info@sebikes.com, And it was from Damon Way, who was actually the co-founder of DC Shoes. He started DC with Ken Block. And I almost remember the email exactly. It was like, hey, my name's Damon Way. I do the DC thing. I'd like to talk to you guys about resurrecting the PK Ripper. And that was it. And I remember not responding to that email for weeks because I was the one. I was like, you know, I was like, is that really him? And I was like, what am I going to get into? And then I checked with Robbie Miranda, who was actually, he was a pro racer at the time that rode for DC. And he's like, fuck yeah, dude, that's the dude. That's the guy that, you know, started DC. I was like, all right, I guess I'll hit him up, you know. And anyway, so he hit me up, or, you know, we talked, and he was like, yeah, he's like, let's bring back, you know, the PK Ripper, you know. So I really actually credit him to kicking off our retro line of bikes, you know, so because we hadn't done anything retro. Anyway, so in 2007, like I said, he was like, hey, let's, you know, we'll put a lot of effort in this, we'll put dollars into it. We'll buy half of the supply, you know? So we ended up ordering 500 and they ordered 250. So it's like that, you know, DC took 250 right off the top, you know, and bought them from us. So it was like instant sales. And back then that was big numbers. And now, you know, anyway, so, you know, when the opportunity was there that they wanted to do something, you know, I took it, you know, and we, you know, I had to educate the factory with what a loop tail is, you know, why we want this gusset, you know, and really, you know, because we were already making PK Rippers, but they are race bikes and they weren't really, besides the flowable tubing, they really didn't have anything to do with the old school PK Ripper. So anyway, it was kind of a learning curve and an education curve, more so of me explaining to the factory of what this bike needs to be and why it needs to be like that. And anyway, so fast forward to, you know, 2007, and we brought out the PK Ripper loop tail, which at the time that bike hadn't been available since, you know, the 80s, you know, so it was a really big deal that holy shit, SE is, you know, because the first few years, you guys probably remember from the other podcast I did with you guys, you know, when SE came back, people were excited and they're like, what the fuck is this? You know, for a lot of the bikes, you know, they were seeing like, man, that's not the SE I remember. So it was like, here's our chance to, you know, really, really get that our credibility.
Yeah, man, I was going to say, Todd, because that had to be like, you know, maybe in your thought process at the time. I mean, were you thinking like this is a turning point for the company? This could be something that is a one-off. I mean, did you see it like as the cornerstone or stepping stone to bigger and better things that may lead to other collabs? How was that involvement with DC and your design?
I don't think I was like, holy shit, we can collab with this brand and that brand and that brand. That wasn't really on my tip of my head at all. I think it was more so retro bikes, retro BMX, you know, and I remember specifically, I think, you know, Redline, maybe 2 or 3 years earlier, they did it was probably their 30-year anniversary, I think, or maybe 25-year anniversary at the time, or maybe 30. And they did like a frame set, you know, and it was like a one-off, and they did it and it was cool. And then they didn't do it. You know, they did it one time, you know, for their anniversary year. So this was actually 2007 was our 30 years of radness, or our 30-year anniversary. So that fell into place where, oh man, we can bring it back, our 30-year anniversary. And then, you know, that, you know how that product schedule works, you know, as soon as one year's done, you're already starting the next year, you know. And it was like, so I immediately dove into the next year, and we also had good communication with DC. They wanted to do another bike. They're like, hey, you know what we should do next? We should bring out the 24-inch, bring out a quad angle in a 24-inch size, you know, which had never been available. You know, so yeah, there on the screen, that's the first 20-inch DC PK Ripper we did. But anyway, they said, hey, they wanted to do another bike the second year. They want to do a 24-inch quad. And then that next year, we also did the OM Flyer, which was already in the line, but it was some weird hybrid mountain bike thing. But anyway, then we turned that OM Flyer more into a retro bike. And then going into the third year with DC, they said, hey, let's do a 26-inch quad angle loop tail, you know, the chrome molly double down tube. And they also, the fixed gear bikes, fixed gear freestyle was the single speed fixed gear stuff was booming at that time. I mean, we were selling a lot of single speed bikes. So they said, hey, let's take the PK Ripper and let's make that thing look just like let's take a fixed gear bike and make it look like a PK Ripper. And that really, that bike people, that got us a lot of notoriety. Cause all of a sudden now we're getting our name in this different culture, not just BMX, but this fixed gear, single speed culture.
And not only that, man, it's interesting that you brought that up because the collaboration didn't just lend it, the design and the branding from DC to marry with SC, but it also brought about the resurgence of the PK Ripper. It sounds like the quad angle, and it also directly affected the design. I mean, we were making, bigger bikes, you were making newer bikes. And I think a lot of people think like when collabs happen, it's just what colorways are we going to put on? What branding are we going to put on? And this lend itself to actual design changes and bike platform changes with SE through the collaboration with DC. So that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that was what I kind of, I'm trying to think, either put weight on my shoulders or prided myself. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it was like, that was my thing. It's like, if we're doing a collab, we're bringing some new shit out. That was what I wanted to do. Cause that's what we did with DC. One, we brought back the 20 inch PK. Two, we did a 24 inch quad, which had never existed. Three, we did a 26 inch quad had never existed. Then we did a PK Ripper fixed gear that never existed. And then unbeknownst to most people, but only the select few, going into the fifth year, we were going to do a 29 inch quad because we did the 24, 26, and then we're going to do the 29. And I don't know, you probably seen the stories on from one guy on the 24, 26, 29 group on anyway. So the first 29 inch, the first 29 inch quad was going to be a DC bike. And we had samples. I had the sample at my house, and then DC changed ownership. They got bought by I can't remember. But anyway, so some shit went down at DC, and everything just kind of evaporated. Just stopped happening. So that was going to be the next quad, and then we actually ended up still making that quad the next year. We took the DC logos off of it and stuff, and we made it that copper quad. That was a 29 inch copper quad.
Oh, right.
But not to get too far ahead, but the moving, when I was saying we did bikes, like a lot of times when we did a new bike, like I always love to do this collab with somebody with a new bike. So it's like, it's just more heat and more excitement. And then it's like, kind of give them, not that they designed it, cause I designed it, but like, hey man, they, they're part of this, this development. Anyway, but we did also in 2009, the first 26 inch PK Ripper loop tail with the Hundreds, which is a streetwear clothing brand. But it was really weird because when we did that bike, it didn't even say PK Ripper on it. It was like a white front and a black back of the frame, or I can't remember, white, black, white, but it didn't even say PK Ripper, But if you looked at the frame, you're like, wait a second,
But you know what it was.
Yeah, most people didn't though, so, and then I kind of felt bad a little bit later. Like, why did I, cause then I felt bad, like, man, that was the first one we ever made, a 26 inch PK. And like, and it was like snuck under the radar,
Do you get requests or like, at least when you like kick this off with, DC, is it just like, cause obviously, Damon Way was like, he wants to have the resurgence of the PK Ripper. Do they have, or do you give them like any type of leash to have design input, or is it more like we want to do this bike, but then they leave it up to you to come up with
design? So if you go back, if you're looking, Isaac, if you're hunting around on those photos, so I don't know if there's a 20 inch PK Ripper in 2007 that you're seeing. That basically we did two of them that year. That first year we brought it back. One of them was Ball Burner Silver with blue tough wheels and blue skin wall tires and blue grips and a blue seat, blue decals, and kind of a classic, silver and blue. Yeah. And then there was a secondary one, and that was the all matte black one. And I never would have done, you know, I was like, fuck that. Why? We're not going to do a retro bike and all matte black and gray. You know, that's not old school BMX, but that was their theme for that year, you know, or that time period. So theirs was black and ours was silver and blue.
I'm hunting for it. Give me a sec.
You probably find it, you know, if you go to the just the SE web, if you can't find it in there, the SE website, the 2007 bike archives, 2007 retro, you'll find it.
Here we go.
So they designed that black and gray colorway, you know, and there was pads on that bike also that had the little their logo mashed in with our wing logo. It was a repeat pattern.
They had that famous F on it, right? Was it DC?
No, DC.
DC, yeah, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. Yeah. I meant DC.
Yeah. So that was the 20 inch PK was matte black, you know, gray decals. And the next year, the DC bike was a 24 inch quad. Again, matte black, gray decals. The third year, when we went to the 26 inch quad and we went to the PK Ripper fixed gear, they were on a neon kick, you know? So that is exactly why that 26 inch quad angle loop tail, the first one we made, was our name for it was tennis ball yellow. And it was all yellow frame, yellow fork, yellow bars, yellow stem, yellow cranks, yellow seat, you know, and pretty, you know, crazy looking. But then it also had in that same year was the what we called the cream sickle, the peak air brake fixed gear that was a kind of a neon orange with white tires and white grips and we used to put the Auri old school Auri grips on there. So they did direct that colorway. But oftentimes when we give them free rein to do something, what they come back with is usually pretty crazy and wacky and they'll put like letters on the tires or something, or they'll put, you know, they'll have some, their own grip, like, oh, that's a mold. We have to pay like $8,000 to open up the mold, or, you know, anyway. So what we kind of learned our lesson. So we'll give them the file, but we're like, hey, we'll take the first stab at it. And then it's a lot of back and forth though. It's not like we just take their name on it, slap it on, and we're done, or vice versa, you know?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, you know, did they, and that was my next question too. Do they have designers or teams that will say, hey, look, here's our thoughts on this. Obviously you guys go, okay, let's take the first stab at it. Here's the template. And then now tell us what you're thinking. And then you guys just back and forth it, right?
Yeah, definitely. Every brand's a little different. Some of them are really involved every nook and cranny step of the way. Other brands are more like, hey, you know your market, you know.
After the DC collabs were obviously taken off, you know, you got bikes coming out and everything. Was there a point where other brands were reaching out and saying, hey, look, we see what you're doing. We want to be a part of this? Or, I mean, were you waiting and for these people to come to you, or these brands, or were you guys reaching out as well?
So DC came to us, you know, and we did 4 years of DC stuff.
Yeah.
And then we did a couple of streetwear brands like the Crooks and Castles and the Hundreds. We did two of those in the same year. And also looking back on that, like, man, why did I do two of those the same, you know? So we had a DC bike, Crooks and Castles, and the Hundreds, you know, all in the same year. You know, now it's like, fuck, we could do 10 in a year. We got so many people hitting us up, you know, but at the time it seemed a little weird because these are two competing brands. You know, like, yeah, I don't know, they're competing competitors, but, you know, in the same space. And then Isaac, if you want to search around for there's magazine photos. Actually, I'm finished in a second, but there's like when we did the collabs with DC, DC was running 2-page ads in like Complex magazine. Of the PK of the quad angle 24 inch quad angle bike, you know, they did a launch party for the first bike that was like, you know, Rob Dyrdek was there and hundreds of people were there, you know. So yeah, there was a lot of and go up one slide. That was the invitation. That was a full size cardboard cutout. That was an invitation that got sent to people for the launch party.
That's sick.
And then And then also what we forgot to even talk about, go up two more pictures, is the DC shoots. You know, so DC did a shoe two years in a row, a SE racing shoe. You know, so that was okay. We're making the bikes. They made the shoes, and they also made some other clothing as well. So yeah, that was a, that collab. Yeah. And I lost that. I had that shot. I lost that shirt. I don't even know where. Yeah. So there's a 30-year anniversary. Yeah, that's West Chad Kagi. There's a picture in there somewhere with me and Deer Deck. That was the first time I met him. And then from that, you know, the next year I ended up going to, you know, to Rob Deer Deck's house when they were filming. Yeah. Go up a couple more pictures. The red. Yeah. There's Deer Deck. When they're filming, Robin Big TV show. And then, you know, I think a lot of people know the story. It's like, so actually, yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself, but behind myself, somewhere myself. So we've got this relationship with DC. We've done collaborations with DC for 2 years in a row. And now I've met Rob Deer Deck. You know, Deer Deck obviously works closely with Kent, with Damon Way, who is my contact at DC, who is the head honcho at DC. Next thing you know, I get a call from, in 2008-ish, I get a call from Damon Way and says, hey, you know what, Rob Deer Deck, you know, he's doing this TV show. And at the time, I didn't even hardly know what it was. I think it was the first season. So, you know, I don't even think I'd seen it before. You know, he's like, hey, there's this really big black bodyguard, you know, it'd be really cool if you guys could make a big bike for him, make some crazy bike for him, and we'll work it on the TV show. And that was the birth of the Big Ripper, you know? And we made five of them, and I took them there to Rob's house during the filming, you know, for that, me to, you know, take the bikes, and they're racing them in the street and all that. Anyway, so that was actually, you know, the birth, literally, of the Big Ripper. Those are the five, it's four bikes, the first four bikes there. And at this, if you flipped a couple more pictures, you know, the next day they raced around at the house. And then the next day we went to the Simi Valley BMX track, which that's Deer Deck there. And the concept was, hey, let's take Todd out. Let's have Todd teach these guys how to race, and we'll do a race that'll be like a drag race. We'll have like a setup race of, you know, Big Black and Rob and Deer Deck. And anyway, Big Black actually had some heart troubles, you know, because that's actually how he passed away. And he actually collapsed that day and had to get taken off in a stretcher. You know, he didn't crash or anything. He just fell over, and he had, you know, issues with his heart, which killed that day of filming. And then it killed the whole, because the day before I was with them, I was talking, you know, anyway, it just took me out of the whole TV show, you know, but luckily it didn't take the bikes out, you know, because then it didn't make sense. Like, well, you know, because that was the whole concept. I bring them the bikes, we go back the next day, we go to the track.
Yeah. They still had footage of them actually riding the bikes down Rob's street in front of his house. They were like doing some street like sprints and stuff. Racing exactly. Around.
Yep. So. And that was from the day when I make sure I'm going to move my phone so my phone doesn't unplug. But yeah, no, that was from the, what you call it? That was the, that was the day I brought the bikes there.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, yeah. So the branding we got from DC was, I'm ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, they're running ads and, you know, and 2-page ads of our bikes and magazines. They're doing these launch parties with, you know, up in LA for the bikes. They're doing shoes with SE on them. They're introducing me to Rob Deer Deck. And then you go one more year past all of that. Then I'm at the Fantasy Factory. I'm there teaching Rob and his cousin Drama, you know, I'm meeting Chanel West Coast, you know, I'm teaching them how to do backflips in the foam pit. So the branding and what we got out of you know, working with DC was incredible. Yeah, that's the launch party right there. You know, they rented out a huge place in LA, had, you know, a lot of, you know, people there. It was really, really awesome. And you know, Damon Way, who again is a co-founder of DC, he really had a vested interest in old school BMX. You know, so it was a true, you know, it wasn't like they're looking to for this big marketing ploy and to make money or whatever. Like at this you know show, it was a lot of, you can see a lot of other old school bikes. It was just like a old school museum party, you know.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like it with him asking you if you want to resurge the PK Ripper. So it, you know, he was reaching out about, you know, bringing back a classic BMX, you know, the most important BMX platform in history, the PK Ripper. You know, it seemed like that was his vested interest. Like, I want to bring this bike back and I want to do it with some DC flavor on it.
Yeah, exactly. And he got it, you know, and they never went overboard with like branding or anything. Like they're really, it was really cool. You know, everything they did was really, really, really top notch. Like I said, we did 4 years and going on the fifth year, there was a change of ownership there. And then it just got kind of weird. And I think he, I don't know what happened, we had the 29 inch quad was, you know, I guess you can credit that for being a DC bike. Cause you know, we're like, holy shit, the big ripper is doing good. Let's do a big 29 quad.
Yeah, for sure. Now you mentioned earlier, because after DC, you said Crooks and Castles and what was the other, the brand?
The hundreds.
Yeah. So my question back, I don't know if you answered it, Todd. If you did, I do apologize, man. But you know, I was asking you like, how did that relationship, you can speak it, was it something that you sought out or did they come to you like, well, we've seen what you do with DC. We want to be a part of this.
So,
like how typically are these brand, like what's, we could use Crooks and Castles and that and the other.
So the hundreds. Yes. Yeah. So hundreds. During that time of 2007 and 2008, fixed gear bikes, single speed bikes were booming. We were one of the first brands actually to, you know, a lot, basically in 2006, early seven, a lot of like college students were taking their old road bikes and, you know, just making it a single, you know, single speed, single gear, easy, functional, you know? Yeah. And they, anyway, so I was tasked with, hey, you know, actually this is kind of off topic, but it's all on topic, but you know, the president at the time of SE's parent company, you know, I was in Philadelphia a lot. I used to go there for 3, 4, 5 weeks at a time. I had an apartment there for 5 weeks or five, no, for 3 years. Anyway, you know, he's like, Todd, go down to the local college and, you know, walk around or ride, go ride your bike there and look at all the, look at, you're going to see that TH is the hundreds. But anyway, go around and look at all these single speed bikes people are converting, you know, they're converting their 10 speeds into single speed bikes. And anyway, so he was like, you know, just make it as cheap as you can, or not cheap, but inexpensive, make it like our Bronco kids bike, but make a single speed like that. So anyway, so it's kind of a long story, but it all makes sense in a second. So then we really put a lot of focus into this, you know, single speed fixed gear, you know, category. And now fast forward a couple more years in 2009 and fixed gear freestyle starts to become a thing, you know? So people are starting to do, you know, BMX tricks and BMX flatland tricks on their fixed gear bike. And with that so when that's starting to happen, you know, some brands are making like a BMX style frame, you know, but it's a bigger size for the 700C wheels. Anyway, and I can't remember exactly where we got linked up with them, but there's a guy named James Banuelos. He actually ran a clothing brand called Us Versus Them. Us Versus Them is actually, the brand is still around. But anyway, so he ended up becoming our fixed gear freestyle team manager. We had a team of like five riders that were, you know, I think we even had them on payroll, like just a couple $100 a month or whatever, but you know, and fixed gear freestyle really started to boom. Anyway, so James also was really connected in the streetwear scene in LA. So he's the one that had the connections with the hundreds and Crooks and Castles. So he kind of brought them to us.
I got you. So it was more like, it was just, it was meant to be because of the scene, the connection with the brand, your research, well, everything that kind of grouped together, plus your connections, right?
I mean, yeah. Well, they saw what we had done for the last 3 years in a row with DC, you know? Right, so, right. And then it's like, oh, now we're working with a bit more of a core brand than a Zoomies brand.
Yeah. I mean, I was just wondering, like, how do these happen? Like, cause I'm sure now after years, I mean, I'm not trying to fast forward too far. I'm just saying now, you know, with obviously the collabs that occur with SE and so many other brands that are associated, it's like, I can't imagine you not getting hit up a lot from
no, yeah, we do. I've got a list. Yeah, I've got a list, and sometimes it'll be like, hey, let's talk again in a couple of years, you know, and then 2 years later, they're calling me back, you know. I mean, right. No ifs, ands, or buts, that's happened. So I've kind of prided myself also on, or not myself, but the brand on, you know, we don't have a licensing team or a marketing team that's going out and scouting brands and trying to pitch our brand to collab with their brand. You know, we don't have a licensing manager that's doing that, you know. But, you know, besides those hundreds in Crooks and Castles that James Banuelos was our team manager and he had that connection, he brought them to us. Every other collaboration, and I could be off by one, but I think every other collaboration, like 15, 16, however many more we've done, every single one of those brands has come to us, you know, which is, you know, cool. You know what I'm saying? And that's when you kind of know it's more of a true collab instead of, you know, like they come to us, they want to be part of us, and they kind of, you know, they're seeing what, especially now, they're seeing what we're doing in the market, and they're seeing, you know, our following, and they want to be part of it, you know, because it's, we're a really, not core, what's the word for it? We are really authentic, you know?
So much, like, here's the thing that really works. Like, you understand, here's the thing, SE understands its audience really well. You understand, you know, who your customers are, and, you know, you deliver products that make us, I mean, your fans are ravenous about this stuff. Like, you know what I mean? We're just on the tails of Hoedown, and you know what I mean? Like, Craig and I had a whole podcast about, like, is EPMD going to be like, we're playing music, and you know what I mean? Like, it's, because here's the thing about SE, you never know what the collab could be. It could be music. It could be like a drink. It could be a clothing line. Some of the stuff that you shared of like, oh yeah, there's a collab that didn't happen. Right. And I won't mention any names, but you know, like there's some really random, you know, collaborations that you're like, wow, that came out of nowhere, but it is very pure. Did you, looking back at like, just like the first DC collabs, if you could put yourself in that headspace, would you even imagine that you'd be collabing with, you know, and I'm not giving anything away, but like when you did DC, did you ever think Public Enemy, your favorite band, is also going to be collabing with you down the road? We'll do that in a future podcast, but
working with, you know, an NFL Super Bowl champion, or Marshawn Lynch, and working with Travis Barker, and then, you know, some, you know, Dogtown skateboards, and one of the most core skateboards, and then Santa Cruz,
yeah,
you know, one of the, you know, the, you know, the bigger ones, and then you know, we did stuff with Pabst Blue Ribbon, we've done stuff with I got to look at a list to remember them all, but we've done, you know, with, we've done some small stuff, we've done, you know, bigger stuff. So we also used to have a policy, and this started from the early days, and this started from DC, when DC said, hey, whatever you buy, we'll buy, you know, we'll double it. So when we did that, actually, that orange PK Ripper fix, no, not the orange one, the silver one, the first year we did, and that was, actually, yeah, that was 2009. So we did a silver and blue, again, ball burnish silver and blue DC PK Ripper fixed gear. If you're looking for the file, it's DC PK Ripper fixed gear, and you'll see the two, the probably the beginning. But anyway, so when we did that bike, they actually ordered 1,000 from us. You know, that shows you how much, you know, fixed gear scene was booming, and you know, we ordered 1,000, you know, and so, which back then was a lot, nowadays that's not that much in the SE world.
This one,
yep, exactly. So that was the silver one, and then they did again a matte black, you know, kind of halfway murdered out one, which might be the picture right before it, you see. Anyway, so What was I talking about? I don't know what I was talking about.
No, you were talking about the DC.
Your policy.
And the policy.
Oh, yeah. So, so when they were, so year after year, they were matching what we ordered. So then we had, that was like our, in our agreement, for a brand, hey, you've got to order 300 of this or 250 or something like that. And then, and a couple brands were okay with that. And then a couple weren't. And then it was like, but after a while, we became so strong and that we didn't have to rely on that, And I think it may have been Santa Cruz was one of the first ones. I think that was 2014. I think they're one of the first brands that they bought like 100 or something for more so for marketing. But they, they weren't able to, to buy that many, but it was like, hey, our sales are strong enough. People are going to fucking buy this bike, but you go back to those days of the hundreds and the Crooks and Castles OM flyer, which if you find that bike, pull that up, really clean looking OM flyer with the white frame and white quilt or white pads. Anyway, those bikes actually didn't sell that great. And some of the collabs we did, we only did like 150, so there's some bikes out there that are super duper limited, that you don't see around at all.
Can you give us an example of one of those, Todd? Like, was the PBR that limited?
So here's the weird story about PBR. So PBR, Pabst Blue Ribbon, that connection actually came from Santa Cruz. The guy at Santa Cruz introduced me to them. I think he may have, it was at the Complex or the Agenda trade show in Long Beach that he introduced me to them. So they wanted to do a bike, a production bike. But then once we really were starting to look at the agreement, there's the Crooks and Castles bike. That thing was clean. But the agreement had basically that you had to be over 18 to buy the bike, and we had to make sure no dealers sold it to anyone under 18 or maybe even 21. I can't remember, but it was like, fuck, we can't, we can't do it, And anyway, but then they were like, well, hey, we want to do some for marketing. But they didn't want that many. And I was like, well, fuck, we can't do a production run of that small. So they only wanted 80 bikes. So luckily enough, if you pull up, so the 2010, I think it was 2010, was it? I can't remember. The OM flyer, anyway, the year that they wanted to work with us, that I was like, dude, that's not enough bikes. Our OM flyer that year was white, red, and blue. And Pabst Blue Ribbon colors are white, red,
same,
and blue.
Yeah, yeah.
So what we did is we just basically took our production bike, made some pads for it, made a seat for it, made new decals, and we took like 80 of our production, and we, instead of using our seat pads and decals, we created new seat pads and decals. And that's where, that's what it was. It was basically nearly almost our regular one. But if you looked at it, you saw the Pabst Blue Ribbon, anyway. And then, so they wanted 80, and then I ordered an extra one for myself. So that was 81. And then the president of the company, of the parent company, wanted one. And then our designer wanted one. So that's where the weird 83 number comes from.
Do you think that's like the most unicorn collab bike of SE is the PBR? Like the one that's been in production that was out there. Like, I know there's been one-offs, but.
Well, what's interesting about the PBR one is, again, they were never for sale, so they were, we didn't sell any into our dealer network. They had 80 of them for shops. And then they have a street team, that goes, their street team was riding them, and of course people rode them and did whatever they need. And then they put them on eBay or sold them. So they were sold, but they weren't officially for sale. So.
Yeah. Cause I seen one last year for sale on eBay. And the first one I ever saw was at Damon Dayton's shop. And I was like, what is that? Cause I'd never seen one. And then I happened to see one on eBay and I'm like, dude, this has got to be the most like unicorn SE bike that exists.
Cost more than my Hummer.
I think I'm pretty sure I still have the sticker set, pad set, and seat in my garage somewhere. So it's like, you know, because before I was, man, this, you know, because that bike was selling for like $2,500 or some shit like that. You know,
oh,
I was like,
no shit.
It's like, man, somebody's got an OM flyer. I'll give them the seat pads and you know, and back then that was even before, you know, now everyone can just, you know, not everyone, but there's quite a few people that just, you know, can make decals relatively easy. And now people are making pads and seats. So it's easier to recreate stuff nowadays or get it recreated by somebody.
That's crazy, dude. Like, do you, of those early collabs, do you have a favorite, like from the DC, you know, years, do you have a favorite bike that you're just like, that is a dope bike?
I like the PK Ripper Fixed Gear. You know, that was, you know, we were the first company, and we've been a lot of the first company, but we are the first company to make a BMX style fixed gear. Mm-hmm. There were other, like, you know, even FBM, you know, the core freestyle company, they were making fixed gear frames at that time, you know, but they never made a complete bike. So we're the first brand to make a complete bike that was a fixed gear, you know, that mimicked a BMX bike. And it didn't just mimic any BMX bike, it mimicked the most classic BMX bike of all time.
There's a video of you on YouTube at Interbike talking about the fixed gear, the creamsicle, and I want to say that there's another one. I haven't seen you so fired up and excited. Like, you could hear how proud you were of that bike. Like, just hearing you talk about it. I remember I talked to Craig that night and I was like, God damn it, I want a fixed gear bike now. If you see a creamsicle bike, grab it. Well,
So the orange one was the second year. That was the second year we did it. But I actually, I rode it as a fixed gear, you know, because it had a flip-flop hub. You could have freewheel or fixed gear. You know, I rode it as a fixed gear one time, and I made it 1 mile before bunny hopping up a curb and then flipping over my handlebars and breaking my collarbone. So I was like, I want fucking nothing to do with the fixed gear. And I always knew, I was like, man, because I was riding, we had another bike called the Logger, which was a fixed gear Anyway, I rode that as a single speed all the time. Then I was like, oh, let me try it with the fixed gear. And I bunny hopped up the curb. It wasn't like I clipped the curb, you know, but sure enough, you know, wasn't ready for that back pedal to be coming and flip me over, broke my collarbone. It was just the most classic dumbass, you know, like
Todd's like flip flop. Gotta run the freewheel.
Anyway, so even though I say I like the peak ever fixed gear, I don't fucking like riding the fixed gear. You know, I rode it with the freewheel all the time. And I actually have two of them still in my garage. And I was like, man, I'm never gonna get rid of those because we'll probably never make them again, you know. But now it's like, you know, the big ripper, you know, takes what that bike was, you know, and then the Fast Ripper really takes what it was. They're like, oh man, this is a cool looking bike. It's fast. It's functional. You know, it's like, well, shit. Now the big, you know, but now I was like, why would I ride that bike with them skinny ass tires?
I owned a Logger for a minute. And I gave it to my boss. My boss needed something to get around town. And, I'll be honest. It's super comfortable. Looking at those little tires gives me so much anxiety that I couldn't ride it. But I was the same way, man, because it's set up as a fixed gear. Like, he set it up fixed gear. And if you think fixed gear riding is easy, go ahead and just go grab one real quick and try and slow down. Just try and slow down.
Yeah, strap your feet in.
It's fun for about about 10 minutes, and then there's zero chill on a fixed gear. Like, there's no chill.
I was never able to do a skid or anything. Like, never once. You know, I tried a little bit. I was like, I don't like this. I don't like, you know. Anyway, then like I said, broke my collarbone. I was like, I really don't like it now.
Yeah, hard pass.
But like I said, that was during the days of like I said, we had a fixed gear freestyle team, you know, which was cool for a bit. Then it was the corniest fucking shit ever, you know, because it just, the whole fixed gear, just, it was like, the fixed gear boom also kind of died off, but a bit more steady. But the fixed gear freestyle, I mean, there was freestyle contests with launch ramps and, like, you know, little, you know, all this little boxes. Anyway, it kind of like an old school, you know, street contest, which is kind of cool, but it was like, you know, interesting. But anyway, but that whole scene just came and went in a blip of a radar, or blip on the radar. But anyway, I'll finish my talking about that bike. So when we developed that bike, that P Caliper fixed gear, the fixed gear freestyle wasn't really happening yet. You know, the fixed gear freestyle was flatland tricks. And by the time our bike came out, then dudes were jumping down stairs. They're putting pegs on and grinding, and they're doing, you know, shit like that. And a lot of people broke the P Caliper fixed gear frame, just snapped it right in the center of the down tube, you know, like snapped them in half. Because we didn't, you know, we really didn't, you know, cause you think you take a BMX bike, it's this big, you make it a fixed gear bike, it's like twice as big. And that tube is so long, it's so much more stressed. And we really didn't do anything to reinforce it, because when we developed it, that didn't exist.
You're all supposed to be doing flatland on this, you guys. You
know? Well, no, but the flatland stuff was all right. You're not supposed to jump down fucking curbs.
Right.
So a lot of people, actually, I forgot, broke them at the seat tube, because you think you're on a fixed gear. Anytime you do a little bit of a jump and you land, you're slamming on your seat, you know, because they have to be pedaling, and they bounce off their seat all the time. Anything they did, they bounce off their seat. And anyway, so that next year when we the orange one, when we made the orange one that year, we actually reinforced it. But the first year, a lot of them broke.
Yeah, man. If you guys want to see someone riding a fixed gear and jumping off things like roofs and stuff, man, go check out Jacob Santos's fixed gear videos. You'll see what Todd's talking about, man. They beat the hell out. Jacob beat the hell out of that bike, and you can kind of get a gauge on the punishment.
I'm going to share it real quick. You can see that the reinforcement there. This is one in the back, right? Where?
Yeah. Well, no, it was the tubing is internal, the tubing, you know, but then also the, you know, was that the second or third year? Maybe, you know, we did another year that was a black and chrome bike, but it wasn't a DC bike, but no, we just reinforced, you know, the tubing was thicker. It was butted. You know, those forks though, I think we had like heat treated forks on those, you know, after a while as well.
Those bars are dope, though. The bars are a trip.
Yeah.
I like the front load stem, too, by the way. It's cool.
Yeah, that was actually as an Affix. What was it called? There's a brand called Affix, AFFIX. It was a really unique stem that you didn't even see the stem bolts.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's bring up another bike. Isaac, we got any more that we can look at?
Dude, I've got a gazillion bikes.
Yeah, I know, man. I want to see
If you flip through the, because I can, if
which one do you want to see, Todd?
Well, if he has it where I can, where before I was able to see the screen, now all I see is you.
Hold on. I'm gonna bring up a bunch of pictures, and then we can just kind of go through it. I got some PowerPoints too. I don't know if that would be interesting. Let's see.
Could be.
I'm just going to, all right, Todd, I'm going to start at the top, and we're just going to flip through a ton of pictures, and you could just say stop, go. Because this may be the only time you'll ever see this stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah, this is stuff that's deep in my computer.
All right, hold on one second.
So, yeah, the first one was the black, it was the shoe. This is actually, we did a collaboration with the Standard, which is a hotel in New York and L.A.,
Great hotel.
You heard it. Yeah. So this was actually the that was the P Caliper fixed gear that we repurposed for the hotel. And basically, when you stayed at the hotel, you were able to take out one of those bikes. Like, they bought them from us. We put the Standard logo on it, and that was a cool little collab. You know, kind of a one-off collab. You know, that we did with the Standard Hotel
in L.A. Have you been to the one in L.A. with the ping pong? They have all those ping pong tables.
I've been at the ping pong in Thailand.
Oh,
that's a whole crazy. Different hotel. I don't think they give you a bike there.
DC Fixie Ripper.
Yeah, that was like early drawing for it.
Those forks, though.
Yeah, no, that, like I said, that was just an early drawing. Yeah, that's the so go back. So all of our limited edition individually numbered bikes will have the serial number on the inside of the rear dropout, which usually is every PK Ripper, you know, 20 inch that we've done or 26 inch that we've done, and every Chromoly quad we've done, which is 20, 24, 26, 29. You know, we do the when it was set, when, if you see where it says the frame description says individually numbered, that means it's numbered on the inside of the rear dropout. And it usually has, what does that say? It says DCPK.
X, and then, X, X, yeah.
Yeah, so 001, 002, 003, and so on.
You'll see an example of it here shortly. Some DC shoes. There it is.
Yeah, that was the first year. We never did it like that again, where that was kind of like a stamp more so than a, you know, than, I mean, that was like a printed thing.
Yeah, it almost looks like a decal almost.
But yeah, but it was under clear coat. It wouldn't come away. But yeah, we didn't do that. We didn't do it like that again. The other ones were all stamps.
Yeah, I got a 24-inch quad, and it's stamped on the inside of the rear dropout. So
yep.
I want that Tough Wheel picture right there. That's dope.
Yeah, that is cool.
Shout out to Drop right there. Drop Curb Dogs.
Yep. Oof. Yeah, this might be a lot of pictures from the party. This is all from that launch party, you know, which was pretty awesome. Damon Way right there.
Yeah. That bike is sick though, that flat black.
Which Damon Way is Danny Way's brother, if people didn't know.
I didn't know that. I thought, I was like, Way has to be right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I've seen these shoes in your on your Instagram, right? You posted these a couple times.
Yep. That was the invite.
If anybody has one of those, send me a picture of it on Instagram, the invite. I want to see what it looks like now.
I've got it.
Of course you do. All right, hold on. Let's see. All right, give me a sec. I'm going to grab some more pictures here.
Todd, just looking at those DC shoes, the collab with the shoes and stuff, do you recall what the run was on those? Like
the numbers? No. I still have like 15 pairs or so of them. Not in your size though. Sorry.
I wasn't getting there, but I'll fit, bro.
I'm just saying.
I'll stretch those.
I'll squeeze suckers. Right
so,
in.
Hell yeah!
So first of all, it was super awesome, you know, that they did SE shoes, you know, and said, you know, PK Ripper on the back and SE Racing on the tongue, and then the wing on the sides. But when you open that shoebox, you know, every shoebox has that thin, I don't know what you call it, that thin paper that separates the shoes.
Yeah. Tissue paper.
That tissue paper, when you took it out and you open it up, it was the drawing of the PK Ripper frame. You know, it was the original drawing, you know.
Damn, details. So
that's cool. Number two, also in there was a copy of Joe Kidd on a Stingray that was repurposed and put in a new case, and in that case had like about 25 pages of BMX history and SE history and DC history. So they really went all out. Yeah, there's a tongue, you know.
Shout out to Mark Eaton for Joe Kidd on Stingray.
Yep. Yeah, he helped with, you know, line that up with them having that.
What seat is this? That's
the 100 seat. That's if you look closely, it's got they had like a print on the frame that was like, it was like a jagged print. If you look closely.
Oh, you can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
you can see it.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
I'm trying to find a picture there. Like you could see some of the hundreds bombs that looked, it's just, sick.
Oh yeah. See the drawings. So did you see the picture that popped up on, a major stream, not streaming, but social media recently, like Baller Alert and what's the other ones I'm looking for? Sport. It was like Sports Center or whatever, but there was some sort of story with about LeBron James just like a week and a half ago. And LeBron's wearing the hundreds SE Racing shirt in the picture, you know, because you know, it was some story. And then for whatever reason, they used a picture of LeBron, an old picture from like 10 years ago.
I didn't see that, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
Look at that dropout.
Yeah, so when you go back pretty far, like far enough, like in the 2006, 7, 8, 9s, basically the designer, the graphic designer over in Taiwan at the time, she basically that's the freestyle quad angle frame when we made the freestyle quad angle. So And, you know, so they were using, okay, just for reference, you know, let's use, you know, we'll use the frame. But anyway, but there's a lot of bad drawings like that where you're like, holy fuck, I don't want that thing. You know, like, no, the bike's not going to look like that. Don't worry.
Yeah, in graphic design, we always template stuff out. Like, you've got to reinvent the wheel. You just got to show what it could look like. So,
yep.
I'm going to hold on 1 sec. I'm going to find the, well, you guys keep talking. I'm going to find that hundreds picture because the graphics on that hundreds that I saw was just sick.
Yeah. The, like I said, they, you know, that picture of LeBron, it just popped up like a week and a half ago. And I was so busy, I forgot to even like repost it on Essie's social media or my own, but I'll do it sometime soon. But it's an awesome picture of him. It's like it's LeBron James with, and you see it says, and instead of SE Racing, it said SE Ripping, and it was our bubble logo, our main, you know, cloud bubble logo, that had their bomb logo, you know, merged in with it.
You know, I got to say one of the, I hope Isaac gets to this in a minute, but, after he finds, what he's looking for, but you know, the bike that you guys did with, Travis Barker, the famous,
It's
got to be one of my favorite. I mean, this for me, it was like the Santa Cruz. Obviously, that's like that's the bike that I would love to own. I can't find one. I've tried. I've searched all over the globe. They're there, but not a lot of people are giving them up. But that famous bike, man, that was such a cool collab. I mean, everything from the graphics to everything on the bike, you know.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, maybe it wasn't flashy enough for me, you know. I mean, it was cool. I liked it, you know. But that's number. I'd say number one and number two when people talk about their most wanted bikes, it's Santa Cruz and Famous.
Yeah, I mean, it is for me for sure. I mean, because you did get the flash, and the Santa Cruz really sticks out because that's Santa Cruz, man. You think of the graphics throughout the years of their skateboard designs on their decks and everything. You know, it just screams out at you, the screaming hand. You guys got to, you know, you work that into your graphics. That blue on the Santa Cruz bike just pops with all the scallop designs, and Famous. the Barker bike, man, that really kind of tied into not only Famous, but, you know, Travis's likes, you know, the way he like his clothing, the way he, you know, with music and everything. So it did fit his, you know, his personality as well as the brand.
So what's cool there is Travis, you know, Travis did ride BMX bikes and he collects BMX bikes, you know, so he's down with BMX, you know, and he's, you know, we talk, you know, occasionally on more so text or whatever on, you know, Instagram, you know, but he'll send me a picture of him doing a wheelie or something, you know, and, you know, we got bikes for his, you know, his kids a while ago. And, but yeah, I guess, yeah, that bike was quite a while ago, but yeah, he's still down. And then to give a side note of Santa Cruz, you know, Santa Cruz, you know, is, you know, there's Santa Cruz skateboards. Then there's also the sister company, Santa Cruz Bicycles. And about 2 or 3 years ago, I don't know the whole story, you know, but Rob Roskop, you know, from, you know, he does the Santa Cruz bikes. But anyway, I don't know the whole story, but they were kind of separate before, you know? So when we did Santa Cruz skateboards, did a collaboration with a bike brand, SE, it was no issue. But now those brands are merged together more, you know. So it was probably a couple of years ago I talked with my contact at Santa Cruz, which he's the one that hooked me up with Pabst Blue Ribbon. He's hooked me up with some other brands. You know, he's the licensing manager at Santa Cruz, because Santa Cruz skateboards, they're doing stuff with the Simpsons, you know, Burger King. You know, they do a shit ton of collabs, and that's his job there.
So when you did the collab with Santa Cruz, was that based on Rob Roskop's Santa Cruz mountain bikes or the skate
apparel? No, definitely 100% the skate side.
Okay, because I was going to say same font, same designs.
Yeah. But same Jeff Phillips hand, right?
Yeah, Jeff Phillips hand.
And the screaming hand.
I think the story that's coming together that I'm trying to say is just take 2 seconds to Google it, but I don't got time. But I think Santa Cruz skateboards or the Santa Cruz bike brand got bought recently by another bike, like a major bike brand, I think, or funded or whatever. And then with that, anyway, so Santa Cruz skateboards and Santa Cruz bikes are more together now. And anyway, so, and then they got bought by another bike company, I believe. Anyway, it's just, so now there's a conflict of interest, you know? So don't count on us doing, having a Santa Cruz.
The Santa bike, Cruz 2?
Yeah, exactly.
The 2.0 is probably not happening anytime soon.
Yeah. Cause that was a discussion like a year or so ago.
I love when the marrying of like the Dogtown, the Santa Cruz, you know, I love that stuff, man. Anytime I see like the two different genres from my youth come together, I think it's dope. I can't get over it. You know what I mean? I think it's the sickest thing ever.
It is, man. And I can tell you this, I have a Dogtown, and with the skateboard, I got the skateboard with it, obviously. And my love for bikes and skateboards growing up, I mean, I got both of those in that collab. And I think that's the dopest thing to do, you know, is like have the bike, but also the accessory to go with it, if you want to say it like that.
So when we did the Santa Cruz bike, that actually, you know, if you open up the bike box, there was a skateboard in there, a skateboard deck, you know, so that bike was packaged with the skateboard deck, which was an unbelievable internal hassle for that to happen, you know. Basically just the logistics of it I'm drawing a blank on the word, but anyway, so our bicycle factory, you know, and the Santa Cruz skateboards made over in China, you know, everything's fucking, everyone thinks a lot of the haters think the only thing that's made in China are SE bikes, you know, but hey, you know, that Santa Cruz skateboard's made in China, you know, a lot of core BMX brands bikes are made in China. But anyway, I have a post for that. You guys are going to get a kick out of the post I'm going to do. You'll keep an eye out for it. But anyway, so that wooden skateboard deck that we wanted to package in the bike box, one, we had to change the packaging and stuff, but two, because it's wood, our factory wasn't allowed to warehouse it, you know, because of this, the import, you know, the importation of a wood product, you know. So that skateboard deck had to get shipped from, you know, somewhere else in China where it was made, the Santa Cruz factory, to a third party warehouse. And then I think they even had to, when they put the skateboard in the bike box, it had to go to another warehouse, you know, and then they could put it anyway. Then when it got shipped in, then we had to have other documentation because there's a wood product. No longer is it only a bike. And anyway, it was a big hassle, but we were obviously able to make it happen. But, you know, we were like, okay, we're never fucking doing that again.
Right. Cause you're just looking at like, whose idea was it to put the fucking skateboard in there? You know what I mean? Cause at the time you'd be like, that's a dope idea. Make it happen. Green light it. Yeah, and then you're wait, now there's three factories involved.
Yeah. And you know, the internet peanut gallery, you know, that can say, dude, why didn't you guys do this? Why didn't you do that? It's like, let me tell you, you
know, I'm part of that gallery. Part of that gallery. So I respect that gallery, but, it's cool to hear the inside story on stuff like that. Like, as far as like collabs, is there ever like, you know, the Santa Cruz skateboard that came with the deck, the Dogtown, is there ever been, you know, other like little goodies that get added, that are not part of the bike with collaborations?
Well, I mean, DC, you know, had the shoes.
Did it come with a pair of shoes? Okay.
No. I'm drawing a blank. So Famous did a couple shirts. They did at least a couple shirts, not too much. I'm drawing a blank on all the collabs.
I wish they would have done a belt buckle. Travis, you don't know me. I'm a big fan. I've got two Famous belt buckles, and I have a Famous belt that doesn't fit me anymore because I'm a fat guy now. But please make an SE. Please call Todd and make an SE belt buckle, please.
Oh, yeah. Isaac he wants to know if the PBR came with a six pack
or a ring. I'm just curious. just saying, you know what I mean? Can we get a collab with Truly?
I gotta go in a minute, but the when we did Beast Mode every year, I mean, they only do like a t-shirt or two, you know, but they have that shirt. Actually, they did a sweatshirt, they did a couple sweatshirts, but they'll have that come out in their store the weekend of the Oakland ride out, you know, so they'll sell a lot there, you know, but they don't really stock it all year or anything. But yeah, so beast mode is, beast mode did, some soft goods. Like I said, I gotta go in a minute, but I just to kind of set the tone for stage two of the collab talk. There's another brand called 10 Deep that we actually didn't work with. We almost did. We did stuff with the Agenda trade show, which I think is now the ComplexCon trade show, I think. But there for the Agenda trade show, we did a one-off bike with Starter, Starter hats and jackets.
Oh, I know Starter.
Yep. Let's see here. The other skateboard company. All right, I'm going to quiz you. What three skateboard brands have we done collabs with?
Santa Cruz, Dogtown.
Santa Cruz, Dogtown, and man.
Creature.
Creature
was a SoCal Flyer frame with Skyway Tough Wheels. It was black with green Tough Wheels. A really, really unique bike. But it was a 24-inch, and nobody wants a 24. So Creature, yeah, they didn't do any clothing. We did a collab with a clothing brand about a year and a half ago called Cult of Individuality.
Okay,
They did clothes. We didn't do any bike. We did two or three one-off bikes, literally three bikes. It wasn't a production run or anything. We just restickered them and repainted them. But they made, jeans. There's SE jeans out there with the SE logo. They're, that are like $300 jeans, stretchy jeans. There's a really nice jacket. There's a sweatpant. There's a
tracksuit.
Yeah. It's really awesome stuff. Expensive, high-end stuff, but with SE logos on them. Like I said, we can talk about go deep into all this stuff next time. And then, Dub Magazine, the Dub Show, that was, they don't really have any soft goods or any product. Their product is their trade shows and their magazines. So they didn't make anything, SE. And then we have the famous Stars and Straps. And then Golf Wang, Tyler, the Creator's, that's another famous person. We're talking about, working with famous people, Tyler, the Creator.
Who rides?
He's a rider. We're actually in the about to make a one-off bike for him, and not make it for him, but we're gonna make a custom bike for him, in the coming months. But yeah, dude, if when his people or he hits me up and he wants five bikes, I send him five bikes. He hits me up 2 weeks later and he wants 10 bikes, I send him 10 bikes. Because all of a sudden, boom, they pop up in a music video or they pop up, all of a sudden he's riding on stage in a concert on it, or all of a sudden, ASAP Rocky's on a bike, where'd he get the bike? Oh, fuck, he probably got it from Tyler, Frank Ocean. All of a sudden there's a picture of him doing a wheelies with Frank Ocean down the street. Oh, Frank's on an SE. He's on an SE, So yeah. And he's just super down and he loves bikes, He put us in touch with Pharrell recently. We sent Pharrell two bikes. I was on the phone with fucking Pharrell. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of.
I remember I woke up one Saturday and saw Tyler, the Creator, doing a surfer. And then I was like, what? And then I Googled it to see if I could find a better version of it. And I found a video of Pharrell. Him and Pharrell. Like, Pharrell's teaching him how to do surfers.
Yeah.
And if you look back at Nerd, NERD, lap dance video, you can see Pharrell 15, 20 years ago, BMXing. This isn't new for these guys, they're down for bike life.
Pharrell, actually, he's part owner or investor in Brooklyn Machine Works, which is a frame company, America made frame company up in Brooklyn.
Yep.
Like I said, Oakley glasses, obviously we never did a bike with them, but Oakley, we had SE Oakley gloves. Oakley's made glasses for, SE Racing Oakley glasses.
Wait for it. Hold on. There we go.
Look at that. Looking good.
Would you do a collab with Oakley?
Yeah, we would. But they've changed kind of own. Yeah, there's a lot, it's always interesting with them. But an Oakley bike would be a home run, But I don't, they're not asking us for that.
I'm going to throw a couple names. Swatch. Would you do a Swatch watch?
In the 80s?
Hey, man. Swatch would be dope. Or Nintendo.
This is what Todd's inbox is like all the time. Hey, man. Did you do
And they're all for me. They're all for me. I just make different Gmail accounts.
Let me add you this spreadsheet. I got a spreadsheet of people. So Oakley, for our 30-year anniversary back in 2007, we came out. I might have right here. Ready?
Yeah, I've seen these.
I know what this is. God damn it.
Todd, talk.
These are the frog skins, SE Oakley. Let me get it right here. SE logo, frog skins. So they made these, and these were never for sale. They only made them for us. They made like 200 pairs for us. We never sold them. We gave them away. And I still got some anyway. And then fast forward another nearly decade. Or over a decade, and then we did the ones you're wearing, you know. And I only give them to people I like.
obviously, I got mine before Todd knew me. Really.
Yeah, he didn't even know you then, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. Maybe I shouldn't say anything.
Back. Send him back.
What else did we do? Oh, we did something with. No, we didn't. The official brand. That's nothing. So next time I've got a lot of stuff that never happened, and I can kind of give you some, you know, a little bit of background. So Pabst, Blue Ribbon, we did something with Huff clothing brand. That was kind of a one-off thing.
That's what we should do in the next episode, Todd and Isaac. We should do go over a brand or a collabs that didn't happen. Yeah, as much as you can.
Yeah, that are not under non-disclosure.
Right.
Yeah. I don't get any more nasty phone calls or emails.
Nah, man. We don't need that
so,
for you.
Todd, I'll talk to you all night long, but I also don't I'm also deathly afraid of your wife. And so I don't want to get on your wife's bad side.
All right. I even have a folder here on my computer, or a folder that says Kanye West. That was one. We'll just leave it at
that. Oh, the teaser right there at the end, bro. Yeah. All right, guys, got to go, but I got a Kanye West folder. See you next time.
Yeah. Here's something I can't tell you about Kanye West. All right, man. Well, let's talk again in a week. If we can, this is why I'm trying to make your wife like get on her. I promised an hour. So, and I went over it by 10 minutes. So, if we can hang out in a week, let's do another recap. We'll come in, we'll talk about what, you know, I'll do this for as long as you have collab bites you want to talk about. We'll keep doing this.
All right. And I'm down. And my question to you, are you guys coming to the SoCal BMX ride? Hashtag
the Indio ride.
No, December 12th, the down the coast.
Oh, he's talking about the 50 a day, bro.
I'm restructuring it. It's actually going to be 30 miles a day. I'm already kind of mapping it out. I'm going to post a graphic tomorrow, but it'll be downtown LA across to the coast to Santa Monica down to Redondo. We'll all stay in a hotel or something right on Redondo, or hopefully right at the beach. And then we leave that next day, which would be a Saturday. So Friday is that was a Friday. And then Saturday we leave Redondo and we go around Palos Verdes and San Pedro into Long Beach. That's another 30 miles. Get to Long Beach and we all stay downtown Long Beach. And then on Sunday we wake up and then we continue down the coast from Long Beach through Seal Beach, through Huntington Beach, through whatever other Corona del Mar, and then finish in Laguna Beach. And we'd be super awesome because we're just going to take the coast the whole way down, you know?
We're going to take the SE chopper back? Is that what we're doing?
Well, the what?
I was just messing with you, Todd. I was just saying we're going to take the SE chopper back, you know, the Learjet.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the issue. My other idea, because like everyone's like, well, fuck, how are we getting home from San Diego? I'm like, oh, shit, that's a big deal. You know, I was like, oh, we can rent a charter bus. Like, well, shit, what if 150 people want to do this? So it's like... And then there's that issue with the what's it called? The Air Force. I mean, the military base.
Pendleton.
Camp Pendleton, where you can't ride you either are on the freeway, on the the shoulder of the freeway, which I think is legal but dangerous, or you go through Camp Pendleton, but not everyone would be able to get through there. So that was just too many logistics. Plus, when I did that ride before debuting the SE prototype Fast Ripper, I actually did 80. We did 80 miles the first day, 60 miles the second day, and like 45 miles the third day. So that's a little too heavy for, you know,
the average Isaac. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think 30 miles a day strictly on the coast would be really manageable. And yeah, I'm really going to start not pushing it, but getting the word out there and, you know, talk with some hotels and see if we get a deal. And yeah, it'll be like a weekend, you know, fun thing. And then 30 miles a day is a lot more manageable. We have time to help everyone kick it in the evening and we'd be at the beach and stuff.
Craig did 30 miles last night with Damon Dayton. So yeah, that's easier to do.
Well, yeah, but add 150 more people, and then, you know, how late you are leaving, and then you're going through LA and like, hey, let's get a picture at the Beverly Hills sign. Hey, you know what? Let's go ride down Rodeo Drive. Hey, we got to all go get a picture in front of Man's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. You know, that's going to, you know, then all of a sudden your quick 30 miles is 7 hours.
100%.
But 7 hours of fun.
I'm down. I know our friend Kat, who was our reporter for the Hoedown, is down to do this. So her and Mikey are going to do it. I think Craig could talk me into showing up down there.
I want to do it.
I can show up for at least one of the 30 miles. And also, you know, I have invited you to my birthday, which is in December. So maybe we can just do like one day. We can have that be like an honorary birthday ride. Even if I just put balloons on my bike, I don't care.
Birthday cake. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm down. But also, and we'll finish up in a second. But also with that ride, because it's so centrally located as far as anyone in Southern California, that we're going through LA, we're going through mid LA, then we're going through Orange County. You know, it's like, so a lot of people that aren't doing the 3 days, though, I'm sure people are going to meet us, like, you know, because I'll post up when we're leaving. Hey, we're leaving at 10:00 a.m. from this hotel, and I bet you, fuck, it could be 100 to 200 people that just roll in that day.
Oh, it's going to be more than
that. Yeah.
I don't think the numbers you're quoting are not going to be what you're going to get, dude. Yeah, add a zero.
Especially when you're bringing it down from 50 to 30, they're like,
add a zero.
Yep.
Yeah. It's interesting. Anytime we do a ride out, it's like one of my quotes is, dude, I don't know if there'll be, you know, 50 people or 500 or 1,500. You have no fucking idea.
Yeah. We've recently interviewed your friend Tom. And so, I think you could probably, based off of what we learned from him, dude, you're going to have more 1,500, not 150.
I actually talked to him about that. And he's like, dude, you're going to have 70 people come down from up here alone, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but how awesome of a weekend is that, you know, just a weekend and just being able to see part of California you've never seen. You're riding along the coast in an area, you know, maybe you drove by the freeway on the 405, but you never, you know, crept along the coast right there, you know? So yeah, I'm excited about it.
Dude, here's the thing. You are the director of SE Bikes, but like your passion for bikes is obvious. You know, I don't see any other brands like, hey, we're just going to do this. Come if you like. No one's doing that. So just as a fan of biking in general and the openness of bike life, dude, I appreciate what you're doing, man. I mean, it's just super, super dope. Like everyone's welcome. Come hang out, go ride your bike, have some fun, see stuff you've never seen, for no marketing reason other than, you know, to ride bikes with your friends that you have not maybe met yet. So that's dope. Yep. I'm all in for that.
Yeah, no, it's going to be cool. I got a message from one of the Bike Life kids out in Philly, Rosati. I'm sure you've probably seen him. He does a lot of video. He hit me up today and said, hey, I'm down. I want to come there. I want to book hotels. I want to, let me know. I was like, let's talk next week. I'll know more, you know.
Rosati's a baller, dude. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But we may just get kind of random. And then we'll bring some of the crew. I'm actually thinking about doing a contest. I don't want to say what we're going to do yet, but a contest for the crew, the SE crew riders, you know, and be like, hey, the top three or whatever, four that win this contest, you know, are going to be, you know, we'll fly out, you know, because we can't fly 15 riders out every single event we do, you know, but we'll bring a handful of them.
Dope.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I mean, you got plenty of them in California. I know my friend Matt Ricard would love to be there, and so would probably Jacob Santos.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, those are like the givens, you know. I'm sure they'll be coming.
Yeah,
and maybe we end up getting an Airbnb or a couple Airbnbs, and then there's a hotel. I don't know. We'll see what we do.
Super stoked. Well, thanks for letting us hear more about the plans. Follow Todd Lyons at Todd Lyons on Instagram, Todd Lyons on Facebook, if you just type SC Racing, SC Bikes on Instagram, you'll find them. But yeah, man, follow all the social, follow 80s BMX Craig and Big Bike BMX. I'll be promoting the shit out of the LA ride, the coast ride. Todd, thanks again, man, for hanging out with us. Please, please, please tell your wife. We appreciate it because we want to have you back. And honestly, I don't want her to kill me. So,
all right, we'll do. Yeah. And same to you. If you're in the same predicament as I am.
She's going to bust in here in a second. I closed the door. So hopefully I would get beat up on camera. So
where them goddamn Trulies at?
Yeah. They're gone.
Exactly. All right, man, we'll let you go. I'm going to hang out with Craig. You can hang up, Todd. We'll talk to you in about a week. And, man, thanks for hanging out, brother.
All right, man. Peace. Yeah. Later, guys. Later.
See you, Todd.
Dude.
Right on, man.
What do you think of that, man? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that, you know, piques my interest. It definitely, I want to know how things work, you know, just naturally inquisitive about, you know, the things that Todd was talking about, how collabs come together, who has what say in it, what type of involvement does the brand want, you know, they just want to say, hey, just make a bike, put our stuff on it. Or no, we want to be involved. We want to resurrect a bike that we haven't seen for a while. We want to, you know, collab with you and getting that bike back into the scene and putting, you know, our branding on it. So it's like a true collaboration.
I dig that, dude. Yeah.
Thoughts and ideas, man.
I think you're onto something there because it makes me so, you know, excuse me, SC has done really cool collaborations, obviously, right? Some I'm really into, some it just piques my interest. And then you hear about the backstory where, like, you know, someone like a Travis Barker is the one that's actually doing the design. It's not just like a, you know, some random intern that it's their summer job to get a collab bike made. And they're just like, you know, here's our logo. Here's your logo. Make something cool. See you later.
Yeah. But, you know, and of course I'm thinking we were looking at DC from back, 2007, 2008, right?
Yep.
So then it's like you're almost stepping into unknown territory as far as what can this do? Is this going to be something that's just based off passion and wanting to be a part of something to today where I'm thinking like, and I said it in the interview or discussion with Todd, like how many brands now hit you up? You know, right. How many brands are like, we see what you have going on in social media. We see this new culture of BMX and bikes and everyone involved. And we see the demographics of folks who are involved, the age groups and stuff. We want our, who knows, X Acme logo, dude, on your bike, but they're not into bikes. They just want to be a part of, you know, the exposure.
Yeah, dude. Okay. So here's what struck me when he was talking, to think about you know, when Way was like, you know, hey, we want to do this thing. Like, Way's almost like he's responsible for the retro bike series. If you kind of look at it the way Todd, if I understood what Todd said, right, he's like, you know, Redline had done it and resurrected a retired, and I'm air quoting in my hands for you that are listening on iTunes, but like a retired brand or a retired thing, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, and he's like, let's resurrect the PK. You know, and what a gamble, dude, if you think about it, because he had to then at that point, they're like, yeah, man, I believe in this so much that I will buy some of I'll put in for it. I'll go in on this with you.
Right. Yeah. No kidding. And you know, Damon Way was like, dude, I want to, obviously he has passion. He has a history with BMX. And he's like, dude, I want to bring this back because something with him was like, this is cool. And I want to be a part of it.
Right.
You bring your bike back. I'll put my branding on it and we'll both have a good time.
Right.
And people will love this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, cause you, like when you talked about the tissue paper, that was like the original sketches for, you know, like, That's not a casual brand that wanted to work with you. That's someone that's like, man, I love the PK. I love the quad. You know what I mean? Like
that. Yeah. Cause you think about that. It's like, you know, putting a design on the tissue paper is another step, right? It's a detail that also, if you're going to get down to brass tacks, there's a cost to it. So this, you know, it's not like, hey, we want to put out a bike that our margin's going to be this. And that, no, we want to put out a product that's dope.
That blows fans' minds.
That blows your mind. And it's like you open the box and there's the on the shoes and boom, you got the blueprint for the PK.
Yeah.
Incredible, man.
Yeah. It's basically like it's the coolest thing for someone like me that's like average. Like I'm basic as shit. But here's the thing.
You're better than that, homie.
I'm barely basic. I'll tell you that. Okay. Right. So but the thing about it is like you have someone that has like enough. I have ideas. I don't have money. And so when you see someone that's like, I have the financial backing to do this, I'm just going to make something I want because if I think of making something, I think of how much it's going to cost. You get someone that's on D-Way's, like his level. And he's just like, he's not thinking how much this is going to cost. He's like, how can I impress myself? You know what I mean? What do I want? What's going to check all my warm fuzzy boxes?
Yeah, exactly, dude. I don't think money equals ingenuity and creativity.
No.
There's tons of companies that you look at something and you're like, wow, with all the resources you have, that's what you came up with. And I just think, like I said earlier, I mean, his passion and his history like dictated how cool he wanted it to be. And like you said, I want to impress myself because everyone else would be stoked on this too, hopefully, you know.
Right.
And it did. It totally was stoked.
So it's literally one of those things where like I almost want like to find him and just, you know, like send him a Christmas card and be like, dude, thanks for 2007 and 8 and 9 because now here I am in 2020 and I get to ride dope ass bikes that probably wouldn't be here had you not had this idea to throw some SE logo PK Ripper, you know, logos on some shoes.
Dude, not like that. Todd said it. It was like the PK and the quad angle came back out. The right afterwards, you know, the OM Duro, not that it was gone, but it was like had a new breath in it, you know. It was it's kind of like, did D-Way have a hand in bike life?
It sure sounded like it from the way
it does, huh?
It does. It just it's like there's you look at people that like basically like, I mean, I look back and you look at like you can't say, you know, if you look back at the roots of, I just look back at my freestyle roots, right?
Yeah.
And you can't pin it on RL. You can't pin it on Bob Harrow. You can't pin it on Buff. But you can definitely see influence from all of these greats. And then you just look back and from what I'm hearing about this story, it's just like the influence that was like, you know, he just had an idea. Hey, Todd. You know what I mean? And the way it sounded, Todd's like, you know, well, Redline did it. Maybe it'll work. You know what I mean? Like,
wasn't that crazy how he said he left D-Way in his inbox for a couple of weeks? Like, I don't know, man. What the hell's going on? I don't know what to do with this.
Right. You know? Could you imagine you just get the gig?
Right.
You know what I mean? And you're like, here's the thing, you guys. I always say I'm not a Todd Lyons fanboy, but I respect the shit out of what Todd does. And I just think of like, if I just took over a job and he already described beforehand, like he took this job because BMX was kind of struggling. And so they're like, hey, you know, BMX, you know, our bikes, you know, our brand, you know, can you just like do something with it? You know what I mean? And it was almost like, you know, Todd's like, you know, I'll give it a shot. You know what I mean? Like, cause you heard him talk about before. He's like, I took marketing at like the JC.
You know what right. I mean? But, like, well, and he's talked before. Remember in our previous conversation with him?
Yeah.
He was like, you know, he took over because, you know, the parent company was like, Todd, you obviously know BMX, you know a lot about what's going on and you got your finger on the pulse. Why don't you take over? And the bikes before Todd took over the SE bikes, you know, pre 2007, 8, or whatever.
It was weird.
It wasn't even weird. They were, for no better terms, they were kind of just bland. They were vanilla. You know, and not saying that
they weren't made by bike. They weren't made by people that rode 20 inch BMX
No. And I think they saw that and they were like, we want a resurgence. We want to breathe some fresh air into this brand. And that's what they wanted Todd for. So of course, you know, his first, or, you know, one of the things he's doing is he's taking huge risks. Like, okay, I'll do this. And it paid.
And then you get that email.
Yeah.
You get that email like, hey man, I want to do this thing. And you're like, oh God damn it. Like, shit, you know, do I go like, cause at that point he has to go back and pitch. All right. Your first big pitch is like if we put this in another term, right. You're like, okay, you work for Nike and you're like, I want to bring back the Cortez. You know what I mean? Right. Or I want to bring back, or you, here's a better one. You work for like Reebok and you're like, I want to bring back Velcro.
Right.
The
double Velcro top.
The double Velcro, because I have a feeling these kids that grew up with that are going to want this shoe. Like, could you, like, a fly on the wall on that call to try and pitch that shit? You know what I mean?
Right.
And Todd's over here like, all right, well, you know, in my mind, in my fantasy world where I hear this, I hear like Todd going like, you going to pitch in on this, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's like the dude shows up at the party and goes like, man, you know what we need? We need some Trulies. And then people are like, you going to pitch in on that, dude, or what? You know what I mean? Like, cool. You going to throw me a 20 spot or what?
Right. Exactly. Like, are you in or no?
Right. So. Like, dude, what a cool story. I love talking to Todd about this stuff tonight. That was great.
Yeah, man. And you know what? The design, and not only the design, right, of the bikes, he was talking about where they put the limited edition stamps. You know, he's going over, you know, the input that these brands have. But it's like, in my mind, with thinking about what he gets pitched with today, it's like, there's no... He doesn't have a team of people vetting companies.
It's Todd.
It's Todd. So with everything he's got going on, right? Yeah. And all the noise that's going on in the background, he's also one of his boxes that he's got in a compartment of things is like collaboration and brands and which one to pick, which one not, you know. It's got to be phenomenal, the amount of... other brands that he has, you know, hitting him up. I mean, what would be your take on it? You kind of work with brands, you understand, you know, that. So, you know, how would you vet that on as the director of a company and stuff? I mean, of course, you can get hit up by huge brands with huge capital, huge resources, a lot of legacy. Let's, you know, like a software hard, company, dude, or something. Yeah.
It's hard. I would say that, like, okay, so, you know, in my day-to-day job, I work for a large company, and there are people that you think of just for like bringing them on to be a spokesperson. And then you think of like, do you want to partner with somebody and do something? And you're like, there's so many scary variables of like, I really hope this person doesn't, you know, misstep in the midst of our collaboration. You know what I mean? Cause like, I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong. A, public doesn't get it, doesn't like it. The person or brand missteps and does something really stupid. You know what I mean? Cause you're like, okay, you know, don't put out a commercial that's going to embarrass us and put us in a bad light. So there's so many things that can go wrong. You know what I mean? And it's scary. There's so much money that comes into it and lawyers get involved. And I'm barely able to keep like schedule of when the goddamn trash truck shows up in front of my house. You know what I mean? Like, I'm barely able to get my kids on Zoom calls and maintain, like, my responsibilities at home are like fix things that leak or like minor broken house stuff. Like, dude, I got a pipe outside right now that I kind of did, like, I kind of fixed it, but now I'm seeing like I kind of didn't. But thank God my wife doesn't know that, like, you know,
half cup full, bro.
The sprinkler leaks at like 2 a.m. and like it's just now starting to show because she's like, what's this mold in here in this planter bed? Because I didn't fill the hole in because I had a feeling I didn't really fix it. I'm off on like plumber land right now, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
I'm barely able to handle like doing like minor house fixes, making sure that the trash is outside on like the right day of the week. And, you know, there's been a lot of Mondays, dude, where I'm just running out there, dude, in my boxers, like waving down the garbage truck, man. And he's just looking at me like, motherfucker, like, you know, I'm here every Monday. And I'm just like, I didn't realize, bro. I didn't realize. You know what I mean? I was like, my kids are on, I'm looking at them like my kids are on Zoom calls. It's a lot to remember. So I can't imagine what Todd's inbox is like, dude, just trying to maintain, like, plus he has to stay current on, like, okay, I'll be honest, dude, I'm 47. And like, he has to stay on top of like who a good rapper is. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. like I'm over here like Ice Cube, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. LL Cool J, that guy's cool. Does Tribe Called Quest want to do, like, is De La Soul hitting you up? Cause he's over here hitting like current artists where I'm just like, I have no idea.
Well, then you got to take
my wife.
You got to take into account that the Public Enemy bike didn't come out that long ago. If you want to speak in terms of how long they've been around, right. And that was a hit. The Public Enemy Big Ripper is one of the most sought after bikes in SC's bike history.
Can we just talk for 1 second?
Us?
Imagine opening the email. Yeah, can we talk for 1 second? Imagine opening your inbox in the morning and it's like you see an email coming and it's like Kanye. How do you keep your cool on that? Like, dude, that comes in 7:01. I'm replying, yes, please.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how do you keep your cool and be like, play business savvy sense when you're like, it's, you know, Yeezy wants to make a bike, dude. Yes, we'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to end up being the answer no matter what, of course.
Yeah, sure. But how long do you let that sit, though? Like, I'm thinking like swingers. Like, you know, you're so money, Mikey. Do you wait 3 days? Is it like a girl? Mm. Where you're like, make him sweat for a minute.
Right.
Maybe I don't want to do it.
Maybe on that level. Probably not, because it's just going to, that train's going to, you know, leave the station if you're not quick with it, right? You would
right.
think. I don't know. I don't have artists, you know, emailing me, asking me stuff. I'd be like, sure, why not?
I would fanboy out all day long.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
How would be like, hey Craig, this is Kanye. I'd be like, yes.
Yes, sir. What would you like?
Yes. That's it.
I didn't read your email, but the answer is yes. Yeah. I don't know what you need, but of course I will do whatever it is.
I'm looking forward to talking with Todd, going further, deeper diving into collabs that didn't happen, that people are going to be like, oh, you're going to do a collab with fill in the blank,
right?
Well, that would have been tragic, or yeah, a train wreck, or man, I would have loved to seen that.
There's some weird ones. There's some weird ones, dude.
We kind of know a few, but I'm not
okay. I'm not going to say a name.
I'm not going to say it. Don't say it.
I'm not going to say it. But if you follow our podcast and you follow how this started, Todd mentioned, oh, he posted a picture of a brown box even.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, we're not going to name the brand, but he posted a picture of a brown box and was like, I'm going to go on Big Bike BMX and talk about the collabs that didn't happen, like this one. And he posted a brown box. And if you notice, that post is gone now, because, like, non-disclosure agreements, Todd will tell you everything. That's what I love about Todd. Todd's like, I'll ask permission. It's better to ask forgiveness than permission.
Right. Except for when they hit you up and say, take that down. And then you're like, okay, because you signed a contract. Yeah, you're like, remember that thing we had called the NDA? And you're like, yep. They're like, take it down.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that dude, that bike, for those of you that remember, because there's going to be enough people that remember what it was, because we all talked about it, like, kind of
saying it.
I'm not saying it. I'm not saying the name.
Okay.
But it was, you look at it and it's like, wow, that's an odd collaboration. Interesting.
Yeah. You wouldn't have expected that one to come, you know, across SC's table. And they were like, yeah, okay.
Paps is another one that he talked about tonight. To me, I was like, that's an odd one.
I didn't know you had to be 18 to get the bike. Why not? I mean,
makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that. I didn't know they weren't available to general sales. I mean,
here's what's funny.
I've seen two of them.
Here's what's funny. The rider in me is like, oh, that's dope. Now, my 13-year-old comes home with a Paps SE. I'll be like, where'd you get the beer bike?
The beer bike.
The beer bike. You know what I mean? You're like,
You're like, let me see some ID, bro.
Right. And look at me. I'm a tattooed dirt bag, but I'm over here like, I'm also a dad.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So it makes sense to me why you couldn't sell it to like someone under 18. That makes sense. I don't want my kid coming home with like a skull like a skull, like a skull, skull Big Ripper. Hold on, let me spit this real quick.
Go for but it.
I'm not trying to have my kid come home with like a Copenhagen Ripper. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So I get it, dude. But like, there's just some random. It's cool, dude. I will sit here for as long as he has bikes to talk about. I will sit here and listen to the collab bikes all day long. I think it's fascinating. I think it's a fascinating talk. Jinx showing me a Coke. Sick burn.
I'll get you a Truly.
Or a Big Gulp or something. But yeah, yeah dude, I'm down for this. You guys, I hope you tune in for the rest of these. We're going to get Todd as often as we can, as often his wife and my wife and Craig's wife will let us all hang out and talk about collab bikes in garages. So, dude, you know what? I appreciate you guys listening in. We're going to let you go because we're talking your ear off. But, man, thanks for sticking in this long. We appreciate it. Leave a comment if you're on YouTube. Leave a comment on the comments or throw a message at 80s_BMX_Craig on Instagram. If you send me a message at Big Bike BMX on Instagram, I'll get it. But again, I'm really dumb about replying to messages.
Yeah, and you know what? You can actually just type in 80s BMX Craig straight out like that with no underscores. It'll link up to me. It'll find me.
Look for the Cobra Kai logo on Instagram. That's Craig.
That's me.
And send him. Let us know what you think. Ask the question. Here's your opportunity to, you know, Craig will be your voice. Craig will ask the questions you want to know because we want to ask the questions that you want to know as fans.
You know, yeah, here's your chance because we're gonna do another collab talk with Todd.
At least
want to know something.
We have at least two more.
Two more. So hit me up. Let me know what you want me to ask him, and I'll ask him on the show. And maybe I'll even shout out your name. Like, hey, one way Michael wants to know whatever.
Or, may not be real Instagram. He just made it up.
There may be a one way Michael out there who's like, bro, don't throw my name out there.
Right. Yeah. Don't shout me out.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Old man.
Old man.
Yeah, one way BS you know P Port City Wheelie Crew _
Blocks.
Earl Blocks. There we go. I'm sure that doesn't exist. But yeah, dude, we'll shout you out. We'll ask your question. What do you want to know about collab bikes? And clearly you can tell Todd is an open book about this stuff and he will tell you everything that he's even not supposed to tell you. So ask questions at 80s BMX Craig, with underscores in between each, but just search for him, 80s BMX Craig, Cobra Kai logo. That's him. Send him just send him a message on the DMs. He will ask your question for you. And man, let's open this up to everybody. I'm because it can't just be us that have, you know, crazy random questions. I want to know what other people think.
Yeah, man, hit me up. And like I said, we'll get them out there. And from Isaac and I, thanks everyone for showing up today, Big Bike BMX. We want to thank our guests. We didn't get a chance to say enough. Thank you to Todd Lyons from SE Bikes, the director of SE Bikes, for showing up and beginning this conversation about collabs with their bikes and their brand and other brands that they work with. To all of you out there who are here for the first time, if you haven't done it yet, hit that subscribe button, hit the little bell there so you don't miss a single thing in the future with Big Bike BMX. Sorry. And if you're out there on the streaming Apple Podcasts or Spotify, thank you all for listening to that and leave your comments. Let us know what you got. Let us know what you want to hear. Obviously, Isaac mentioned the Todd Lyons upcoming collab discussion continuation. We want to know what you're thinking. And just thanks for showing up, man. We appreciate each and every one of you. We love all you folks out there who are part of this show with Isaac and I. And we couldn't be more happy that you're here with us to have fun and have rad times right along with us. So thanks for showing up and I'm out.
Yeah, we'll see you next week, guys. Take care. We love you.